Okay, that'd be great. That'd be great. I think there is the potential, and you never know, but there's the potential for quite a few people. And one thing I was thinking about when we set up for tonight, we might think a little bit on that end if there might be a little space if we have to put chairs up in here. I'm not sure if we will, but it's possible. So you never know. You never know. But there's the potential for quite a few people. So really pray for wisdom for me. And I have kind of certain boundaries I'm supposed to work with. So, you know, I never like those boundaries. But anyway, just pray for God's help. Well, let's pray for right now and help us now. Father, we thank you that you are a Father of great love and care for us. You are our Father. We just rejoice in that. We thank you that you are the one that will, you care for us when we begin life. You can care for us throughout life, and you care for us at the end of life. And so our desire is that we will journey well, that we will be a people who stay close to you by your Spirit and in your Son, that we would really walk faithfully, and that we will be godly. We pray that for ourselves. We pray that for our church. We pray that for our families. We just pray that we will live as you desire, and that would be a delight to you. So we know every time we open your book, you have something that you want to say to us. And so we pray that we'll be people who, by your Spirit, are responsive to your will, submissive to your will, and grow through your word. So guide us right now in Christ's name. Amen. I was talking to someone just recently, and I don't know how we got on this subject, actually, but we're talking about how things, which is a surprise to none of us, how things have changed so much since we started life and where we're at in our time, in our culture. It's quite amazing. The reason I bring it up is not that it's a surprise to you, but when I think of where I started, even though we couldn't say we were a Christian nation, we were still living under laws that had Christian influence. And now with the change in our culture, and I'm thinking largely of North America, with a rapid, drastic change, we are losing all the boundaries that we were raised with. And so the things that we just assumed to be true now are either questioned or rejected. What that brings us to is that the generation that where we're at and the generation that is living in the midst of this, some of those obviously younger than we are, their need for wisdom is even greater in a sense than it was for us. Because there were things that were assumed. Now, we may not have totally understood those things. We may not have totally appreciated those things. But now, those things are it's just like basket upset. And so for people, for Christians, as well as, obviously, we know for unbelievers, but for Christians, it's really critical that we have wisdom to get through this journey and really honor the Lord as we travel and as we go through. I think, and we're going to deal a little bit, we're going to have a series, and we'll start that next week. It's called Culture Shock. And it is kind of shocking. It's kind of bold, but it's dealing with some tough issues. But what I really appreciate is the intro and the beginning. Now, there's two presentations on the front end that explain, from a human standpoint, where we've really gotten to in our culture. And from a human standpoint, obviously there's a whole spiritual dimension behind it. But the human way, the way philosophy and people have influenced our culture to bring us to where we are, I think from just listening to that and thinking about it, we probably don't even realize how drastically different the mindset is of those in university or those even out of university. We use sometimes terminology. We use it in one way. They're receiving it in a different way. We need to understand that, and we need to be able to deal with that. And part of our job is understanding it well enough to communicate to our children and to our grandchildren what is true, what is biblically sound. And so that's part of the reason we'll be dealing with that. I want to go back to where we were the last time we were talking about, obviously, this whole issue of wisdom, and I defined it in this way. Wisdom is God-given insight through His Word to live skillfully, and that's kind of our caption, to live skillfully in this world. We dealt with four words. All of these words are out of the Old Testament. They're Hebrew words. And I want to pick up with number five. And as I did last time, I'll give you the Strong's number in case you would like to look it up later. Dayak. It has a guttural sound, they say, on the end. Dayak. And it is a word. And let's go to, you'll understand this when we read this. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. The word is, number is 1847. In the Strong's, okay? So don't worry about the pronunciation. I'm not even sure if I should give it. But let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. And we have our word early in the Old Testament. And it's it jumps out us as exceedingly relevant to what we need to think about. Genesis 2, verse 16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge," that's our term, "but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you will surely die." Now, we're going to just simply define this, and it's obvious from our reading. Knowledge in this sense, knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge of good and evil. The word especially involves the ability to distinguish between those two. And it is a knowledge, obviously, in that sense, of moral distinction. Moral distinction. The knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Moral distinction. Now, I don't think it takes any convincing to realize how this concept or this type of knowledge has in large measure been lost. In Proverbs chapter 1, and again, obviously much of this comes out of Proverbs, but not exclusively, but in Proverbs chapter 1, I read another passage that uses this term. Proverbs 1:29, and we read this. Proverbs 1:29, because they hated knowledge. They hated knowledge. Now, they hated moral discernment. And did not choose to fear the Lord. They would not accept my counsel, nor they spurned all my reproof. Now, if you drop your eyes down to verse 32 of that same chapter, "For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them." That is what is happening in our culture. We're being destroyed. I'm going to read a few passages also, and I'm going to read in chapter 1 of Romans, just to again give backdrop to this. They hated knowledge. And this is a very familiar passage, Romans 1, and I'll start at 28. There's a whole large section we could read. "And just as they did," this is verse 28, "and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind." Now, when we reject God, we're given over to a depraved mind. And sometimes we find it hard for people to think the way they think, but sin has a progression. "To do the things which are not proper, being filled with all," and this is what caught my attention in these words, "being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful." I mean, it almost gets exhausting. You read this list. It's just exhausting, right? "Inventors of evil." Isn't that an interesting phrase? Inventors of evil. I mean, there wasn't enough, so you had to invent some more, right? "Disobedient to parents." I thought that was interesting after this long list and you get to disobedient to parents. But I remember that was pretty wearing too, right? Okay. Without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. Oh, wow, wow, wow. This is, but see, that's, when we look around us, isn't that where we're at in our culture? That's where we're at. And we, because we do not have discernment between good and evil. Now, it really is not an intellectual issue. It's really an issue of the will more than an issue of, well, I can't figure this out. But it still is a big, big issue. I thought this was this passage, and it comes to my mind, and I was trying to, where is that passage? Isaiah 5:20. And again, this flipping of good and evil. Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And when you say woe, that is disaster to those who call evil good and good evil. I think sometimes the laws that have been shifted and changed, the laws of the past that have respected life and all of these things, who now we call them evil laws, and what we have now are good things. But it just shows we've turned it upside down. Woe to those, and this is what happens to a culture, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are, notice this, who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. That's, it's weighing, it's heavy, isn't it? It's heavy on our hearts when we think of where we're at and where we're at in our culture. Because we love those around us. Thank the Lord. I mean, Canada's a wonderful place. It's been a wonderful place in many, many ways. But things are drastically changing so quickly. Before we are totally lost in discouragement, I want to go to a little more positive side. Proverbs 2:10. This is Proverbs 2:10. Going back to Proverbs. And this is the positive frame, if we do learn this knowledge. Verse 10, for wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be, that's our word, knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion, and as we said, there's overlap in these definitions. This is another Hebrew term. Discretion will guard you, understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil. See, when we do recognize evil, we can be delivered from evil. We can be delivered from it. We don't have to be crushed by it. And I think this is another Proverbs, and this is in Proverbs 3 and verse 7, and just the first the phrase, do not be wise in your own eyes. Proverbs 3:7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Turn away from evil. We fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. And that's what we long for in those that we love. And also that we don't get confused in our own spirit, that our conscience does not get calloused by the world we live in. We want to make sure we continue to turn away from evil, right? We want to continue to turn away from evil. And evil grows, and it surprises us. It's like a mugger in an alley. It can get us at the most inappropriate time, and we just weren't planning on it. We weren't expecting it. Now, I'm sure there are a lot of illustrations of this. We've already, you can think of our culture, the laws changed. I mean, that's just one illustration. Good, evil, evil, good. No discernment. And what I find in our culture, because we don't have this knowledge, and we'll talk more about this idea of discretion, but because we don't have this knowledge of good and evil, it's so easy to make terrible laws and twist it around where it sounds like it's good. Because we don't have that discernment, discretion between knowledge of good and evil. Okay, let's go to another word. This particular word, I'll give you the Strong's 42:09, and it has this idea. It's Maxma. But it has discretion for wise planning. Discretion for wise planning. And I'm going to go to Proverbs 2. This is a word we already read prior in a similar context. But Proverbs 2:10, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. We've read that. And this is our word. Discretion will guard you. Verse 11, discretion. And this is discretion for wise planning. I appreciate what Dr. Warren Wiersbe wrote. Discretion is the ability to devise wise plans after understanding a matter. I thought that was interesting. We'll listen to it again. Discretion is the ability to devise wise plans after understanding a matter. So we're talking about discretion, and that will lead to good planning, to making good decisions, going in the right direction. Discretion, and again, we say, discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you. If you're in Proverbs, this is in Proverbs 3, verse 21. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Discretion. Verse 23. Then you will walk in your way securely and your foot will not stumble. Your foot will not stumble. Again, discretion is the ability to devise wise plans after understanding a matter. I think this is one thing, really, to pray for us. And on Saturday morning, we'll spend some time praying, which I think is very needed. But one thing is to pray for the leaders, that God will give us discretion to go in the right direction. Because, we're thinking, you know, we talk about, obviously, issues, things to be aware of, things that we should be ahead of instead of getting caught by surprise on. How should we plan if laws adjust? What should we do? And also, how can we be more effective in our ministry? How can we reach lost people more effectively? But to pray that we'll have discernment and discretion to go in God's direction. And I think this is an area. I mean, we need that each for our families and our relationships, and we need it for our ministries. And I thought this is something to pray for the leaders especially. But pray for all of us on this. Now, let's look at another word. And this is the seventh one we give. And this word has the idea, it's very similar, but wise guidance. Now, again, it overlaps a lot. And it's 8458 in Strong's, 8458. And I'm going to go to Proverbs 1:5 on this one. It comes out. And you'll understand how it's used, especially when I read this verse. But in Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and increase in learning. And a man of understanding will acquire wise, and it's translated in my version, counsel. And that's our term, wise counsel or guidance. Now, this is a verse that just fits with that. And this is Proverbs 11:14 using our same term. This is Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, and that's our term, that's our Hebrew term, where there is no guidance, the people fall. Where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. So we need guidance. Now, obviously, we want the guidance that comes from the Lord. Now, I thought this was, an interesting definition. Again, this one comes from Word Wiersbe as well. The word translated counsel or guidance is related to the verb to steer a ship. Counsel is wise guidance that moves one's life in the right direction. Now, it's very similar to the last word. But wise guidance, thinking of steering a ship. And of course, if you think of steering a ship, and how important that is, especially when you're coming into port. And you remember the Halifax, and we've talked about that, and I'm sure you remember somewhat about the Halifax explosion when these two ships collided, right? And the terrible disaster to the Halifax, the whole area. But think of all the wrecks in history where a ship has been blown into the rocks, or if it gets off course a little bit. The importance of staying on course, to steer a ship. And obviously in God's direction. And that's what we want. We want that kind of guidance. Now, we think in life of there's so many ways to get be going in the wrong direction. Let's just think this thing through. I guess one thing, for some reason this jumped out at me the other day. I don't even know where I was at when I was thinking about it, but I was thinking, and this is an obvious thought, so you'll think, well, that's not a no-brainer. But think of young people, and I was talking to just today to someone about youth group. These young kids have got some precious young lives in youth group. In the next couple of years, they're going to be having huge influence on them, and they're going to be making some major choices. Now, part of those choices, because at their young age, some of them, not this year, but next year, will be going into high school. So think of all the pressure on them, And then think of as kids get in their junior, senior year of high school, and then, of course, they've had all kinds of pressure on drugs and sex and all of these pressures. But then when they cut loose and they move into university or in that zone, then they start making other decisions that are going to impact. It's not just a one-year impact. Some of these decisions, let's say who they date or who they marry, that's a lot, you know, that's going to impact them for years and years and years. But a lot of times, I find in our generation, we're very naive as a generation. And a young generation has, and the world has tried to steal. I saw a book title by a man who's Jewish. He's not a Christian that I know of. But he's talking about how the universities have stolen the minds of our kids. And I thought it was a very, I wish I could remember exactly the way he titled the book. But I thought from his perspective, I know he's a relatively conservative man politically, but I don't think he's a Christian. But he's thinking the universities have stolen the minds of our kids. And so here you get this kid and he goes off to university and then he comes home and he's an atheist, right? You say, well, how'd that happen? Well, it's an intentional thing. It's a design thing. Obviously, there's spiritual dynamics that bind that. But they need wise counsel before they ever hit those hard waves of that first semester. You think a lot of those young people are hit so hard, especially in that first year, they're hit so hard by a professor who wants to mock them and denounce their faith. And sometimes these professors will take a real run at a young freshman student, just hitting them, trying to embarrass them and to mock them into denouncing their faith. So we need to prepare them long before they get in that classroom to be able to withstand this. They need wise counsel, wise guidance. Now, let's just think of a passage, you know, among many, many that is needed for all of us, but for choosing your friends. Proverbs 22, 24, and 25. Proverbs 22, 24, and 25. Now, again, I'm going to read this, and you're going to know this, but this is just one example of having a way to steer our ship in a wise way, in a skillful way. Do not associate with a man who is given to anger, or with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. Now, I thought of this one time. I was at a stoplight, and this is in Nova Scotia, so nobody knows. I don't know who this person, this couple was. Young kids, they were in high school. I'm sure they're in high school because their high school was right across the street. They were waiting at the light just to walk across, and I was waiting there. It was just about to change. Anyway. And I saw they were apparently boyfriend, girlfriend. And I saw him. I just happened to see this kid kick this girl. And it caught my attention. I thought, you better run. I thought to that young girl. Because he's kicking you in public now. He's going to be kicking you in private a lot more, right? So you see, that's just a principle. Steering. But we need to have the principles. Our kids need to have the principles. What kind of friends? What kind of places? Where do you go? Where do you not go? How do you think through things? You know, now we're getting into the heat. You know, it's amazing to me. Somebody said this when we were in Alaska. This was a Christian lady, and she was really upset about this, which I totally. But then anyway, there was this pornography place. It sold pornography. And I mean, everybody knows it's a pornography place. And so, I mean, she hated this pornography place. But she said, in the last couple of weeks, last month maybe, they started putting these posters, these huge posters in front of this pornography place, like Batman, Superman, all that. What is that doing? It's trying to suck our kids into pornography through these heroes, so-called, right? So we have to be able to think. We have to help our young people think. That is not true. That is a false. That is a lie. That's the wrong. That will lead my ship onto the rocks. Okay, let's deal with one more and we'll be done. Okay, number eight. This is wise counsel. It's very very close to that one. Let me give you the exact number here. Get my notes. 6098. Wise counsel. Now let me just read. This is back in Proverbs chapter 1, 29. Because they hated knowledge, they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned, and that's our word, they would not accept my counsel. They spurned my reproof. And this is Proverbs 12:15. And I'll read this. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. And that's our word. Listens to counsel. There's so many things we could say on this. But isn't it interesting in our culture, and I go back and I think back to the 60s on this. When the 60s took off, it seems to me, historically, you know, wise in your own eyes became a major caption for that generation. Anybody that was old was dumb. Anybody that was young was sharp. I mean, it's kind of the mindset of that generation. And, of course, you know, I followed in that, you know, and that was kind of the mindset in the university zine. But what happened at that time, it seems to me, and this is a very probably shallow view, but when that happened, a whole generation felt, we can't learn anything from those who are older than we are. We're the ones that got it all figured out. We're the sharp ones. They're the old fogies that don't have anything to say to us. So now we have a generation that doesn't listen to the older people who have been around longer and have gained a lot of experience that they could benefit from. I think that's one thing, and I said this to several people, I think that's one thing we need to think, okay, who is maybe someone, and think of someone in your life that maybe God wants you to, you can use different terms, but wants you to mentor, wants you to encourage. It may be a little Bible study. It may just be a phone call. It may be a note. It may just be connecting with them on a Sunday morning. But you're trying to pass on some, first of all, you love them, care for them, accept them, but you're trying to pass on some truth to them so that they can get the benefit of your years of experience. You know, you've been in the Word, you've soaked it in, and God may just give you, there's a principle here, a principle to pass on to this young girl or this young guy or this young couple, this young family. But wise counsel that comes from the Lord that can come through you to them. They need you. And so I think it's something we need to realize. I think, you know, it concerns me when I think, you know, some of us are going to be off, you know, we're going to be off the boat one of these days. And there's not going to be any, people need the truth to be passed on. And think of all the sermons you've sat through. I'm sorry. You probably think, oh, man, this is painful, right? If I thought of all the sermons I've heard. But think of all the truth that you've heard. God wants that counsel to be passed on. And we're not going to be preaching at people or sitting down in the chair. But lovingly communicating to them. principles of wise counsel. And now, some people, again, in our generation, some of the younger generation has been so brainwashed, they just can't hear us. And we understand. I understand that. We can love them, though, and they may open up a little bit by little bit. But there are some people who really, really do long for somebody just to come alongside them, love them, and give them some encouragement and some aid and some insight. And as we stay in the Word, may we be channels of that truth. Channels of, to those who are teachable. See, one of my sons said to me, he says, "One thing I remember, Dad, you said to be teachable." I do remember I preached that sermon several times. But for those who are teachable, we can pass truth on. May God help us be wise. May we be wise. May we watch our steps. You know, may we watch our steps. But also may we pass on wise counsel to those who are coming behind us. Let's pray. God, we need help, and we want to walk wisely, and we also want to pass the wisdom that by your grace and through your Spirit and by your Word you have given to us. May we also pass it on to others who perhaps are struggling, perhaps drowning. They need to be loved and they need to learn. And help us keep learning, but also help us pass it on to others so they can walk wisely until we're with you. In Jesus' name, amen.